Moving into the barriers, Moods, Mytho, Rog, and the Rain Man. Set and underway for Moody on the Mic.
Back for another edition of Moody on the Mic. I'm Roger Aldridge here again. Well, they're in Sydney, actually. Peter Moody, Anthony Mithen. The resident Rain Man's up there in Brisbane, and it is the week where we say that pounding is a Group 1 wait for age place getter. Moods, the pounder, the horse of Moody on the Mic. All-Star Mile 1 week, Group 1 Australian Cup placing the next. He's picked up $400,000 for the battlers down there at Rosemont Stud, and of course, Dalziel Racing. What a horse he's become.
Yeah, the horse of the people, isn't he? The horse of the people. I've always wanted to know what he would do 13th up in the preparation. You know, the form guide reads first and second. But 13th up, you know, with confidence, you can back him in a weight for age race now. So that was the very pleasing thing that I learned out of Saturday.
Surely we're getting him on the float up to Sydney next weekend, Moods. There's a Queen Elizabeth there. Plenty of prize money. He's a Group 1 weight for age place get over 2,000 metres.
Well, 100 metres out, he was probably on his way to Sydney and a big late entry fee for the Queen Elizabeth. But for the sake of a length, he's earned himself a rest and he's chewing the green grass down there in Mytho's front paddock.
I wanted to run him in the Grand Prix this weekend.
He's in the paddock. He won't know what to do in the paddock. He'd be lost. He's the Shelby 66 of this autumn.
Yeah, he'd be standing in the corner waiting for the float to pick him up to head to the races on Saturday.
No, he's been an absolute marvel. He's dear to our hearts now, the pounder. We were scrapping around at the start of the prep in benchmark 64s Moods, and he's gone all the way through to wait for age Group 1 place getter, and a big bold showing in a fight in the richest mile race on grass, $5 million All-Star Mile. So he's done everyone at Rosemont proud because we obviously bred him and got Wiley in as partners, partnered up with Wiley and his mates, and everyone's had a great ride with him. So thanks to everyone who's supported him. He typifies Moody on the Mic, and, you know, just four battlers trying their best, and each week we just sort of seem to get better and better, and more people are listening to the podcast. Rog, you've sent out the stats, although you haven't sent the stats out for our new season at play in 2023. Are we going any good? Are people listening?
People are. They aren't listening in necessarily. I haven't seen the country breakdown for a while, so they probably are still listening over there in Nigeria. Speaking of stats, I was about to mention the Dalziel Racing Moody combination had gone at 36% win rate in the last 3 months and 75% runners to place getters. I mean, that must be the hottest. That's a hotter combination than Moody and Noel and Moody and bloody Wiley Dalziel. Who'd have thought?
Yeah, well, we've put a hole in that in the last 3 weeks with plenty of placings and not enough winners, but that's life. But no, listen, we've had a good trot with Wiley's horses. We've had a good trot full stop since Christmas, barring the last few weeks where we've hit a few roadblocks. A few of my dear friends on Twitter and that'll no doubt let me know that I had another favourite beaten today. But life goes on. As long as the pounder keeps flying the flag for us, it's as good as winning most races when you're running seventh or sixth in a All-Star Mile and third in an Australia Cup.
I mean, the exciting thing now is that the winner of the Australian Cup, and we should pay homage to the eight-year-old Cascadian, pounding's 4 years off his top if he follows a similar path to Cascadian. We've got 4 years of racing.
Maybe it's start 170 by then.
Unbelievable. So, and while we're giving a rap to syndicates, we should give a rap to Nathan Bennett as well, the astrologist, doing a great job just getting pipped in that Alcott sprint on the big Dubai Cup meeting. You know, it takes a brave outfit to say, bugger it, we're going to go all the way to the other side of the world with our horse and have a go at a race like that. And when he was still giving on the line, I think all of Australia was giving the astrologist a bit of a kick along. So well done to Team Corstens, Malua, and Nathan Bennett and his team. Well done.
No, here. Yeah. Our horses traditionally, I think Tony Noonan started the ball rolling probably over a decade ago now. He went over there and performed You know, those horses just off top level here, we've shown that they can go there and win and be ultra competitive in that March period over there in Dubai. It's just a pity it does fall into our sort of back end autumn Melbourne, early autumn Sydney, I suppose. And ideally, it makes it hard to take. But if you've got a, you know, a pounding, for example, you know, a 90 to 100 Raider, there's a lot of good money over there if you want to go over there and have a crack and have a trip away.
Petey, so next year we're going to decide the Australian Cup or the Dubai World Cup. Now you're talking.
Why not? And we could even run him in the Royals' richest race at Saudi Arabia on dirt, maybe.
Moody on the mic, live in Saudi Arabia. I like it. Let's lock it in now.
we just can't take
the wives.
No.
We're talking about landmark performances and the like. One landmark performance that hasn't happened yet, but who Rayman's put the mockers on. Now, this is a clickbait if ever I've seen it, but on the social media today, there's a piece by Ladbrokes, which usually Rayman will plug, but I'll get in first. He reckons, written by Tom Hackett and voiced by Carl Williams / Guyton Granley, J-Max, the case for J-Max to ride 200 Group 1 winners. Now, Rayman, I know it was a bit of clickbait, but Moods, 200 Group 1s for a jockey. Do you think if anyone's going to do it, would it be someone like J-Max, or is this dead set fanciful stuff from the Rayman?
Well, where are we? Where's he at now?
90s.
I can make my case. He's in the 70s, and he's still, J-Max is still a young man. And at the moment, he's riding 15 Group 1 winners a year, basically. Now, I was even conservative in my math. I said if he keeps going at the rate he's going, he rides 10 Group 1 winners a year, which is below his current rate, he'll get there in an absolute canter. He'll get there basically in time for his 40th. And we know Damien Oliver's 50. He's still riding Group 1 winners. Pumper rode his last Group 1 winner when he was 52. I think he could get to 300, Rog, is what I'm saying.
Before you jump in there, I can sense exactly what's going on here. This has got the boys on the Ladbrokes floor frothing. They're going to set a market and they're going to tie up all that money for another 10 or 15 years just sitting in the Ladbrokes account waiting to pay out on whether or not J-Mac over or under 200 Group 1 winners. This is genius from the team at Ladbrokes. When's the market open, Rain Man? I can't wait to put my 100 on.
Guy, you're the biggest J-Mac fan there is, Mytho. I legitimately think he can get to 200 Group 1 winners. He's in his early 30s. He's now getting the pick of all the rides, not just in Australia. He gets some of the best rides in Hong Kong. He can go around the world. He got those. It helps his stats that he got a few Group 1s early.
We're sold. Just open the market.
We're turning him around here, Rog.
I'm not going to put. I am going to put you though, Rayman, something else. Because before we started recording this show, you were questioning my mathematical ability, and didn't you say before that if he even dropped it to 10 Group 1 wins a year, he'll get there in a canter by his 40th birthday. But he's already in his 30s and he's on 70, so he'd need another 13 years to get there. Pardon?
Yeah, early 40s.
Early 40s.
Retiring. Jockeys aren't retiring very early these days. I think if J-Mac stays fit and he stays motivated, He will get there. There's no doubt in my mind.
We're putting a bit of pressure on, but we probably tend to forget that even the great Ollie steadies down a little bit. He might have been riding 10 winners, 15 Group 1 winners a year at the same time, and it probably tapers off a little bit. You know, it's hard to expect him to do that every single year.
Ladbroken, and modify the excitement with Ladbroke's Same Race Multi. To build a Same Race Multi, head to your chosen race. Find the Same Race Multi tab and pick 2 to 4 runners to finish anywhere inside the top 4. Add up to 4 runners to watch your potential payout increase. Ladbrokes Same Race Multi. Available on Thoroughbred, Greyhound, Harness and International Races. Ladbroken. T's and C's apply. See website for details. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
Racing in Victoria at Bendigo this weekend, but we're going to go north or south for Rain Man. We're going to go to Sydney. 4 Group 1s at Randwick on the weekend. One of the great days of racing. We're going to go race book order. Let's kick it off. The Sire's Produce race for the 2-year-olds. Rayman, what does the market say?
It's been a really good go early here for Cylinder. Open $2.80. That price did not last long. He's into $2 now. He's the even money favorite. Don Corleone is there on the second line of betting at $6.50. Good money for Vate, unbeaten. He's there at $6.50 now as well. Brave Mead, the winner the other night at the Valley, is there at $8.50. But I think Cylinder looks extremely well placed here. He certainly lost no admirers with his second place finish behind Zinzo in the Golden Slipper. And if you look at the record of Golden Slipper place getters that then go on to run in the English size, it's just absolutely outstanding. And there's a little bit of it's the same connections, but we look back at Animo only a few years ago. He finished second behind Stay Inside in the Golden Slipper and then came out and absolutely cakewalked home in the English size. And I'm not saying that Cylinder's going to go on and do what Animo has done as an older horse, but he's got, as a two-year-old, they've got very, very similar profiles. And I think Cylinder is more than worthy of his status as a dominant favourite here. I think he'll win this race, and I think he'll win fairly handily as well.
Jeez, Rayman's saying J-Mac's going to win 500 group ones, and now he's saying that Cylinder's the next Animo. This is just massive statements here on Moody on the Mic from the Rayman. But I am just going to go against the short quote of Cylinder. Rightful favourite, but a bit short for mine. I'm hoping that whether, I don't know whether it's V8 or Vate. I know you said Vate, Rayman. I'm not entirely sure. I think it might
V8.
Be V8.
V8.
I'm hoping it's V8.
Yes, it is. No hair on there. I think V8 can stamp himself as something here. Wide draw an obvious concern, but he was pretty impressive winning at the 1400 last start after blowing them away in a pretty weak field on debut, six lengths east down. Doesn't have the runs on the board that Cylinder does, but I'm hoping he will after Saturday.
What do you think of when we say Vete, Petey?
Vete, yes. Bernie Balls.
Have we told that story? I think we might.
No, we've threatened her a few times.
On a podcast episode. Well, I think we have time.
We might have to do it on a special pay-per-view.
We had Jerry on one night and we touched on it.
Yeah, we might have touched on the Vete. Have you revisited the Vete, Petey?
No. The closest I've got to Vete again is V8, who's going around in the size here on Saturday. And I, along with Roger, think he's a very, very good colt, V8. Right-handed first time outside barrier, a bit of a question mark. Graeme Begg's horse, Maharaba, he purposefully missed the slipper to wait for this race. He might be the curveball. Great respect for Cylinder and Dodd and Corleone. But, I'm giving the 4 and 5 a chance of knocking off the hot pot here. What do you reckon, Anthony?
I'm still just reminiscing about our days when we used to beat. But
sitting there thinking about Moods' balls. That's probably not ideal.
I was privileged enough to share the car back from the Sydney sales with Pete back to the hotel here at Coogee Bay, and I did notice that Petey's very, very hairless up on top at the moment. Very hairless. He's shaved the noggin down to within an inch of its life, which sort of has me, you know, us ball blokes, we've just got to manage that whole scenario so that you want to be at your best with your hair length, with whatever you've got at a certain time. And I was sort of thinking, I didn't mention this in the car, I thought I'd save it for the podcast, but I reckon Petey's expecting a big day in Sydney. He's expecting, and he wishes he had more hair, but he wishes to win just a little better and be right on peak performance. There'll be 4 days of growth for Petey come Saturday when I Wish I Win wins the TJ. I know we're not at the TJ yet, but I think he's just managed himself perfectly here, Rayman.
I was going to say, Mytho, this is the best I've seen the noggin looking since the Wednesday before Incentivise won the Caulfield Cup. He went in, he had it nice and shiny, had his head in the Shino Bowl. I think this is, I wasn't tipping I Wish I Win. I might be now. I think this is the biggest lead that we've seen in I Wish I Win's chances in the TJ.
So V8 just reminded me of the hairless Peter Moody. The noggin's perfectly shined up. It's bowling ball style for those that can't see on the podcast. But for a tip in the size, we'll get to the TJ in a minute. I'm going Cylinder.
4 days worth of growth heading into Saturday. I think there'll be more growth coming Saturday if I Wish I Win gets up. Don't you worry.
Downstairs, and then we might find out if he's beat it or not.
You spoke about incentivise. We didn't touch on this at the start. Of course, Moods, he's been retired. On a day we might have seen a new staying championship earn a spot in the Melbourne Cup down on the minimum. We saw incentivise. Unfortunately, we're not going to see him back on the racetrack again, which is disappointing for racing in general, but good to see he's at least healthy and headed to the paddock for a nice little retirement.
Yeah, no, he's up at the farm. We pulled the shoes off him on Tuesday and took him up there. He looks in good order. So just it was becoming a bit all too much, and he was putting pressure on different parts of his legs as we were trying to build a fitness base under him. So ultimately, we didn't want him to hurt himself. So in discussion with the vets and the ownership group, made the ultimate decision to retire him, which was very disappointing for all, but the right thing by the horse. So he came in like a bloody comet, didn't he? And unfortunately, we haven't got to see him since that Melbourne Cup in 21. But he was a very talented horse, and we've seen them come and go before, and unfortunately it'll happen again. But because he leaves his all out there, that type of horse, they quite often do can succumb to injury.
Very disappointing. But a favourite here on Moody on the mic, retired on the day where another favourite pounding, of course, grabbed his Group 1 placing. Not the same level, those two. Let's move on to the TJ, because the horse we also love here on Moody on the mic is I Wish I Win, Rayman. He is very much in the market for, geez, what is a dead set cracker. I cannot be more excited for this one.
I actually can't be more excited for this one, Roger. This could be the race of the autumn. Basically, this is the title of Australia's best sprinter is on the line here. There is no doubt. You've got the Everest winner, Giga Kick. He's $4.20. You've got the three-time TJ Smith champion, Nature Strip, $5.50. You've got the Newmarket Handicap winner, In Secret, $5.50. You've got the Golden Eagle winner, I Wish I Win, $8.50. You've got Private Eye, Everest runner-up, $9.50. You've got the Doomin 10,000 winner, Marzu, $13. And then a classy mare in the form of Passive Aggressive there at $13 as well. It's just an outstanding race with a huge amount of depth and so many question marks. Nature Strip, I thought the market might take a bit more of a set against Nature Strip here after his first up effort, but he's been kept pretty handy there by the market at $5.50. I think it's probably about the right price. I think Giga Kick, we know, was outstanding first up. Should only improve on that effort as well. And we saw what he did in the Everest, so we know that he's capable of winning a race of this quality. And I Wish I Win gets another chance here. We saw him storm home late in the new market. I'll be interested in Moods' thoughts. A bit worried about where he gets to from that wide barrier draw, barrier 14, but he's in this race as well. But the value runner for me, I think, is Private Eye. $9.50, Joe Pride trained. He was very good first up in the Newmarket Handicap. And we saw what he did last preparation in the Everest, where he was probably should have finished closer to Giga Kick in that really tight finish in the Everest. So I think at $9.50, he's going to get a nice run in transit here with Brenton Abdallah in the saddle. He will need a bit of luck in running at the right time from barrier two, but in what I think is an outstanding and what I think is a fairly open race, I think Private Eye is the value at $9.50.
I'm surprised when you're running through all those horses, their prices and what they've done in their careers, I cannot believe you left out Group 1 Galaxy winner Shelby 66 at $126. I mean, that is value if ever I've heard it, Rayman. But for me, like I said, I can't wait for this one. Giga Kick, super impressive, resuming in the challenge. Looks cherry ripe here. In Secret, obviously brilliant in the new market. Is her best down the straight rather than around the bend? I don't know. We'll find out, I guess. I Wish I Win, up to it in his eyeballs, as you mentioned. Interested to hear what Moods thinks. I'm happy to pot Nature Strip, though. I don't think he'll figure here. He has been a unbelievable horse and great for Australian racing, but I think the guard's changed. I think this will be his last race, so I don't think he'll be figuring in the places, and I think it'll be Giga Kick from I Wish I Win.
Yeah, I'm waiting with bated breath for Mood, so I'll be short and sharp. I'm that Quinella too, Rog. I reckon those two storming down late, they'll come with their runs and collar what will be a reasonably hot tempo. So yeah, that Quinella looks pretty good to me. Moods.
Yeah, well, the difference between winning and losing first and second up for I Wish I Win in both the Lightning and the Newmarket was the tempo of the race early, where a horse like he couldn't stay in touch. And I suppose Giga Kick was probably a little bit of a victim of that first up in Sydney as well. Like, if they go out and go lickety-split here, horses like Giga Kick, I Wish I Win, and probably a couple of others, you know, if they lose touch, they'll run sensational, but will they be able to run well enough to win? A question mark. Where if the tempo is just good and solid and they can travel up, say, 4 or 5 lengths or 5 or 6 lengths off the field rather than 8 or 10, that's going to be the massive difference between winning and losing. So I'd like to think I Wish I Win can win. I reckon he's drawn to get a pretty good run on the back of the likes of In Secret and Lofty Strike, who he and Lofty Strike made their runs together in the Newmarket. And credit to Lofty Strike. He nutted us there for second, but we meet them both a little better at the weights this time round. Nature Strip, what a powerhouse. You ride a champion off at peril. You know, where's he still sitting in the food chain? I'm not sure. J-Mac back in the saddle here. God, a brave person to leave him out of your placings. I don't know, but this is probably as good a sprinting field as we've seen, I would have thought, for a long, long time. And I'm with the ruling Everest favourite Giga Kick here. Give my horse, I Wish I Win, a hell of a chance, but really there's not too many that would surprise here. And Nature Strip, I'm not going to forget him. I won't forgive him if he beats me a lip, but I'm not going to forget him.
Yeah. And Lofty Strike, you mentioned their moves. Like, we're massive odds. Yes. $18 about a horse that's run second in 2 Group 1s its last 2 starts. It's a three.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that shows you the quality of this race and passive aggressive in beating Giga Kick at its last start. Also, $13. You know, it's an outstanding race. And In Secret, I'm a little bit in Roger's corner here. I reckon she's been dynamic down the straight. The two previous runs in Sydney, albeit very good, they didn't have that brilliance that she has shown on the Flemington straight. So the other thing to keep in mind here is the weather. Where's that going to leave? We've got a 6 at the moment. I'm hoping it holds at that. I certainly don't want to see it any wetter for I Wish I Win and probably a few of these other horses, because there's an old saying, fast horses, fast tracks.
Someone said it once.
Yeah.
And we're getting real freaking sick of it too.
Righto. Move on.
The Doncaster Mile, a chance for Mr. Brightside to go back-to-back here at Rainman. The All-Star Mile winner goes in as favourite in a very open mile race.
Oh, this is a classic Doncaster, Rog, where it is just incredibly open. I've basically got it marked $12 to field. Mr. Brightside is the favourite, coming off that remarkable win in the All-Star Mile, looking to become the first horse in Sacred Falls to win the Doncaster Mile in the same year. Alligator Blood, one of our favourites, has been well backed early. He's $11 into $8.50. Fangirls drawn the car park with Joe Moreira in the saddle. She's $9. She's another one that doesn't want it getting any wetter than what it currently is. So Gotcha's there at $9.50. There's a stack of chances. There's not many horses in this race I think you can go through and put the pen through. So for me, it's a race where I'm going to be going wide. I'm going to be backing a few horses each way that I think are over the odds. And we know that three-year-olds do have an outstanding record in the Doncaster Mile. And Communist is going to need a lot of luck from Barrier 21. But I think $18 to win, $5.50 the place. He is over the odds, the Randwick Guineas winner. He was very good in that Randwick Guineas. Was disappointing, not disappointing last start, but he was just probably a little bit outclassed at weight for age level against the likes of Animo and the George Ryder. And now he drops back very handily in the weights. He's only carrying 49 kilos. I think he's got the profile of a Doncaster Mile winner. Another horse I want to touch on is Going Global, American horse making her Australian debut for Chris Waller here. $26 to win, $7.50 the place. Her best form in America is definitely good enough to win this race. We've got to see her bring that form here to Australia, but at the price, I'm willing to gamble there. And another horse who comes out of the All-Star Mile is Nugget, who I thought he was a good run there behind Mr. Brightside. Meets him substantially better at the weights here. He drops to 51.5 kilos. Another one that's drawn wide and will need some luck in running, but at $31, $8.50 the place, I'm happy to have a gamble. So I'm going wide. I think it's a genuine dartboard job this race, but it's a great race. And I think whoever wins this race on Saturday will be a worthy winner, because I think it's going to be an absolute cracker.
Moods, Rayman basically just pulled the pineapple, but managed to go on for 4.5 minutes and list most of the field in the same way you would just say pineapple. It's basically a pineapple race. Mr. Brightside can do it because he did it last year. He comes in off a great win, the All-Star Mile. Alligator Blood had his chance that race, didn't get it done. Meets, like, you know, I don't know. I'm not going to write the Gator off, though. $13 seems a bit silly. Ossipenko, if he gets in, 49 on his back, I think he's a danger. But, look, I'm going to go default Brightside, but I've got no idea.
Yeah, I'm pineappling up here, I think. But can I ask Moods a question? Would this be a better race? There's a lot of jockeys that are excluded from riding in this race because of the weight scale. Why don't they just raise the top weight by a couple of kilos, and therefore everything comes up a couple of kilos?
So if you owned Alligator Blood, you'd be happy to see him have 59.5, 60 kilos.
Well, but it's the weight you're giving to the other runners, isn't it? More so than the weight you're carrying.
Yeah, listen, but some horses can't handle big weights as well, carrying big weights. You know, it's amazing you get a horse that can struggle under those conditions. Well, it's the way it's been for a long time. It's the way it is. It's a handicap. It's nice to see a true handicap because we've seen a race like the Melbourne Cup become basically a glorified quality with a maximum top weight. And it's good to see horses like Lindemann and that getting 8.5, 9 kilos off her Alligator Blood. You know,
but you can still do that. What I'm saying, like, I mean, effectively, J-Mac doesn't have a ride because he can't.
Where do we draw the line in what the horses have to carry? Do we want them to have jumpers flat weights?
I reckon the world's moved on, and the racing bar for a couple of races on the Australian calendar, we've raised them to fall in line with modern society, that these jockeys shouldn't be wasting down to ridiculous weights to be able to compete at their chosen sport. So, but except for a race like the Doncaster comes along, and you know the best jockey in the world has only got two horses that he's eligible to ride for because he doesn't ride it any lower than 55.5.
Hang on though, Mitho. I mean, given that J-Mac was already looked after by the judiciary recently, I'm not sure that they want to be adjusting the weight scale just so he gets a ride at the Doncaster Mile. I'm not sure how well that goes down.
I think it's going forward. Jockeys have got themselves into a healthy state riding at whatever that weight may be. Most of them didn't get to 54, 55, but suddenly you put on a race where there's hardly a runner, and it's big money. You know, there's hardly a runner under that sort of weight scale. So I don't know. I just think it was worth noting. I was actually going through the field going, why hasn't J-Mac got a ride until I worked it out? It's the weights that prevent him. And Tim Clark, obviously, strong association with Alligator Blood, and Zach Burton on Mr. Brightside, and that's it. Now, Ben Mellum, he'd be wasting pretty hard to ride Kerwin's Lone at 54, wouldn't he, Moots?
Yeah, he'd be keeping a good check on things for sure. And obviously, he's got In Secret in the previous race, 54.5. So, did you end up coming up with a tip after defending the jockey?
No, I pineappled it.
Right. For me, I think Mr. Brightside's a weight certainty for his current form. Getting 2 kilos off Alligator Blood after defeating him last start at a weight for age race, quite astronomical. Obviously weights were out and he didn't get a penalty for the weight for age win. I think he's going to get a great run from the draw from Zach Purton, and I think Mr. Brightside wins again. And a big shout-out to the three-year-old filly Zoo Got You. I think it was 97, the last time we saw a three-year-old filly win the Doncaster Handicap in the great New Zealand filly and then became a great Australasian mare in Sunline. 1997, so it tells you it's a big task for a three-year-old filly, but I think Zoo Gotcha's got the quality. Is she going to be a Sunline? I don't know, but God, she's a damn good filly. So I think 2 from 16 and throw a pineapple on them for your trifectas and first fours.
Mr. Brightside, a weight certainty in an open Doncaster. Peter Moody has put those smooth as silk balls on the line here. Let's move on to the fourth Group 1 of the day, and it is the Australian Derby. Rayman, another chance for the Kiwis to come and take the cash. I think they will.
Yeah, we know the Kiwis have got just an outstanding record in the Australian Derby, and they've got the favourite again this year, Sharp and Smart. He's $3.70. Pericles, who was narrowly beaten in the Rosehill Guineas, is there at $4. Mark Twain, another Kiwi. Roger James won this Australian Oaks last week. He's looking to win the Australian Derby as well. He's $8. And Manzoy's looking to do the rare double, the Victorian Derby into the Australian Derby is there at $14. I think it's a really interesting derby this year. You've got a strong New Zealand contingent up against a fairly strong local contingent as well. And I just think that I'm not convinced Pericles is an out-and-out 2,400-metre horse. I think he could be a horse that is becomes a legitimate, more of a 2,000-metre, maybe even a miler as an older horse. But I still just think he's got class on his side. I think he's a better horse than his record suggests. Only had the 2 race wins for his 7 race starts, and he probably should have put away that Rosehill Guineas last start. But I just have a feeling that maybe this has been the target race all along for Godolphin, James Cummings. He must have got a really nice run in transit here from Barrier 6. Well, Sharp and Smart from Barrier 17 is likely going to have to get a long way back here. So I think it's a toss-up between the two at the top, but I do think that Pericles will get the better run in transit. So I'm leaning Pericles here at the $6.
Yeah, only the barrier beats Sharp and Smart from wide, and it's a chance because it's wide. But, geez, I tell you what, he came over to spring last year over here and did some good things, just missed out on the Victoria Derby, losing to running second to Man's Oyst. But he's since gone back and he's added like a Group 1 second beaten under a length and 2 more Group 1s his last 2 starts. And given how well the New Zealand form is holding up already in this autumn, I really, really like Sharp and Smart in this one.
Yeah, I just wonder whether Chris Waller he's the man for this job. He loves these style of races. He loves these sorts of preps, and maybe Man's Oyst is the horse that's been prepared to go into this. I'm just actually reading the Ladbrokes form, Rain Man. You might want to tell the team at Ladbrokes that they've got Man's Oyst winning the All Star Mile at its last start, which is a little confusing, but you can disregard.
Don't bite the hand that feeds you, though.
No, I'm just telling the boys that they need to just get that right because 1600 up to the 2000 metres wasn't a bad run behind Lindemann in that Rosehill Guineas, and now hits his peak, perhaps third up over the 2400. Disregard winning the All-Star Mile if you're reading the form there, team. So Man's Oyst for me, just a sense of timing about this horse. And Michael D, he's becoming... He's becoming the Group 1 king, isn't he? He just saddles up, goes out, gets the job done, doesn't worry about the sort of midweekers at Sandown sort of stuff. He's just straight to the top of the tree at the moment. Mickey D, Group 1 Mickey D.
Listen, another open race for mine. Sharp and Smart did look like the one to actually beat, and he probably still is, but it's going to take a Hugh Bowman special from gate 17. I thought the horse he beat in the New Zealand Derby, Andalus, with all due respect to Cozzy Anos, who I don't know in New Zealand, he's being replaced by Zach Purton, quite arguably the world's best jockey, and meets this horse considerably. Cozzy Anos or Arnos or Onos. Cozzy me out.
Cozzy's
Anos. Yeah,
let's stick with Cozzy. Let's just keep it safe.
Cozzy rode Andalus at his last start, being replaced by Zach Purton, this son of El Manzor. I think he's a chance of turning the tables, particularly with the favours he's going to get out of the barrier draw. And an interesting one there I thought was very good in the Tullock Stakes the other day, the Queensland Galloper by the Boom Stallion Prazier, Tapple Doodle Doo. I think keep an eye out for Tapple Doodle Doo, the 11. Reece Jones rides again. He was very good in the Tullock the other day down from Queensland. He might be the little wild card, and great respect for Sharp and Smart. So I'm going 6, 11, and 1 in the ATC Derby.
I hope Tapple Doodle Doo doesn't come up the back behind.
Here we have a mate dedication from Scott to Johnny. Over to you, Scott.
Jono, you've got some questionable banter at times. Oh man, did you butcher the speech at both of Tim's weddings. And you barrack for the worst footy team. But, mate, you nailed last weekend's multi. Love you, big fella.
Good on you, Scott. Try Ladbrokes Mates Mode to chat, share and bet together. Thank you for being a friend. T's and C's apply and available on website. Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
The best bets, Moody on the mic. Install some sanity into proceedings, please. Rainman, how'd you go last week? Mine got up.
My best bet was a drifter. I think it was $4 out to $8.50 and was then given a barrier trial for the Australian Derby and the Tullock Stakes. It was a great run, but didn't get the job done. I'm keeping it nice and simple this week. Randwick Race 6, number one cylinder. I'm not saying he's the second coming of Animo, but I am saying he'll win this English size. I mean, he just looks extremely well-placed. I think he's a very good horse. He'll get his deserved Group 1 victory this Saturday. Randwick Race 6, number one cylinder.
We've neglected the Goldfields, the Nursery of Champions, on this episode of Moody on the Mic, so I'm going to go to Bendigo for my best bet. I'm going to go to Race 3 and number 6. Could be a big day for Lindsay Park. I don't think it'll be because they win Race 3 Bendigo with Croatian Bell. Won her first two starts. Not great in two-year-old Magic Millions, but I think Croatian Bell, after a little spell, will return a winner on Saturday at Bendigo.
Yeah, some rich racing there at Bendigo, standalone meeting, and I think that is that a $250,000 race for two-year-olds, Rog? I think it is.
Yep.
So plenty of prize money on offer at the Nursery of Champions, well-named, and I'm heading there for the Rosemont. We get the little rampant lion, the gate crasher on the crest of this one. It's a conglomerate of very important people, you'd have to say. Waikato Stud, of course, I Wish I Wins colours, and Rosemont colours come together for Traporti, who's favourite in the Ladbrokes market at $4.20. Drawn well, Ben Allen aboard. Thought this horse might win last week, but didn't get a run. Was an emergency and pre-post favourite, but didn't get a run, unfortunately. So back to benchmark 70 class here. Bendigo Race 2, number 10, Traporti, for Waikato Stud, Rosemont Stud and partners. It should be winning, punters.
Yes, we're off to the Goldfields on Saturday with a handful of runners from the boutique stable. We've had a drastic run of placings of recent times, so hoping we can turn it around a bit this weekend. Race 1, number 7, Lucky Decision, resumes from a spell. Looking forward to seeing him go around 2 kilos below the limit weight. I think he's an each-way hope in the first. Race 2, number 19, Gentility, will be withdrawn from the bad barrier. Going across to Race 5, the Bendigo Gold Bracelet. We have Life Lessons, Daniel Stackhouse, drawn 7 of 8. This mare's in good order. I expected her to run, travel forward, race on the speed, be very hard to beat. We go to the Bendigo St. Ledger Trial, the 2,200-metre race for the three-year-olds, and it's not a bad race, this. You've got a nice filly up the top there in Queen Air. I'm represented by Triumphant Miss, the 4. An Almanzor filly, I think she'll really appreciate the step out to the 2,200, and I think an excellent each-way hope there.
Onto the 20 Bendigo. Bucks.
Yep, onto the Bendigo Guineas, another good race, listed race for the three-year-olds here. 2 from the stable, Waltz on by. Billy Egan takes the ride, drawn barrier 5. I thought she was very good through the line, second up there at Mooney Valley. I think she'll run extremely well. What odds, Waltz on by, Rain Man?
You're getting $21 at the moment, Moods.
Waltz on by. Well, she is overs. And Do It La from the 15 barrier will more than likely be having the day off and resting. And an old stable favourite going around in the last, Do You Punk, first up from a spell. I don't want rain for most of my runners, but if it does happen to arrive at Bendigo, he's a horse that does love the wet. Race 9, horse 9, Do You Punk. But I think the best of mine for the weekend is Life Lessons in the Fillies and Mares Bendigo Gold Bracelet. Race 5, horse number 4. And unusually for me, I like to see fast horses run fast. But I think for I Wish I Win to get his best chance in the TJ Smith, don't let them run so fast, boys. Hold them up a little bit this weekend and give the battlers a chance and help I Wish I Win's case. Have a great weekend. Be happy, be safe, and hope you find a winner, punters. Ladbroke it.